हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay, so Bhakti Rasamrita, the Sindhu, Northern Ocean, First Wave, Chapter 45, Text 4120, page 8. When laughing sounds are heard and the teeth are visible, it is called vihasita, audible laughing. Right. So, in other words, the whole thing is that laughing aspect, but when it's not audible, then you call it smiling. Right, and so there's the slight smile, and then you could say like a full smile. Then it starts getting into the audible laughing. So it's already a little bit audible. An example 4121. An example. My friends, steal the thick yogurt. Why are you uselessly showing fear in this house? Jatila is sleeping with loud breathing. And Krishna said this, the old lady, only pretending to be sleeping, laughed audibly, showing her worn teeth. Srila Prabhupada. When the teeth are distinctly visible in a smile, that is called vihasita. One day when Krishna was engaged in stealing butter and yogurt in the house of Jatila, he assured his friends, my dear friends, I know that this old lady is now sleeping very profoundly, because she is breathing very deeply. Let us silently steal butter and yogurt without making any disturbance. But the old lady Jatila was not sleeping, so she could not contain her smiling, and her teeth immediately became distinctly visible. This is an instance of vihasita smiling. 4122. When the nose swells and eyes squint, it is called abhahasita, intense laughter. 2123, an example. O son, how have your two eyes become tainted and strong colors early in the morning? Why are you wearing Baladev's blue cloth? Hearing these words of Jashoda, servants standing there could not suppress their laughter. Their eyes squinted and their noses swelled. Srila Prabhupada. In a state of smiling, when the nose becomes puffed and the eyes squint, the laughing is called abhahasita. Once early in the morning, when Krishna returned home after performing his rasa dance, Mother Jashoda looked upon Krishna's face and addressed him thus, my dear son, why do your eyes look like they have been smeared with some oxides? Have you dressed yourself with the blue garments of Baladev? When Mother Jashoda was addressing Krishna in this way, a girlfriend who was nearby began to smile with a puffed nose and squinting eyes. This is an instance of abhahasita smiling. The gopi knew that Krishna had been enjoying the rasa dance, and Mother Jashoda could not detect her son's activities or understand how he had been covered with the gopi's makeup. Her smiling was in the abhahasita feature. Srila Jiva Goswami, these are the words of Jashoda. However, sometimes instead of putra, son, the word mitra, friend, is seen. In that case, these would be the words of a friend. 4124. Laughter with tears in the eyes and shaking shoulders is called apahasita, uncontrollable laughter. 4125, an example. Seeing the effulgent child of Braja, Krishna, who makes the devatas dance, dancing to the verses of an old lady, Narada, with tears in his eyes and shaking shoulders, began to dance in an extraordinary fashion and turned all the clouds white with his flashing white teeth. Srila Prabhupada. When tears from the eyes are added to the smiling and the shoulders are shaking, the smile is called apahasita. When child Krishna was dancing in response to the singing of the old maidservant Jarati, Narad was astonished. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who controls all the movements of great demigods like Brahma, was now dancing to the indications of an old maidservant. Seeing this fun, Narad also began to dance, and his shoulders trembled and his eyes moved. Due to his smiling, his teeth also became visible. On account of the glaring effulgence from his teeth, the clouds in the sky turned silver. 4.1.26. Laughter combined with clapping the hands and bending the body is called atihasita, extreme laughter. So this was, previous was, what's it? Uncontrollable, intense. Okay, intense, uncontrollable, and extreme. 4.1.27, an example. Oh lady, your skin is all wrinkled. You look like a monkey. The king of the monkeys with wrinkled faces has sent me to arrange for your marriage to a suitable groom. Hearing this, the old lady says, by all these wrinkles, I have lost my intelligence. Thus, I will not accept anyone except you as a groom, since you are the destroyer of demons and the destroyer of wrinkles. Hearing Mukara's words, all the young boys began to clap their hands and laugh loudly. Srila Prabhupada. When a smiling person claps his hands and leaps in the air, the smiling expression changes into atihasita, or overwhelming laughter. An example of atihasita was manifest in the following incident. Krishna once addressed Jarati thus, my dear good woman, the skin of your face is now slackened and your face exactly resembles a monkey's. As such, the king of the monkeys, Bali Mukha, has selected you as his worthy wife. While Krishna was teaching Jarati in this way, she replied that she was certainly aware of the fact that the king of the monkeys was trying to marry her, but she had already taken shelter of Krishna, the killer of many powerful demons, and therefore she has already decided to marry Krishna instead of the king of the monkeys. On hearing this sarcastic reply by the talkative Jarati, all the coward girls present began to laugh very loudly and clap their hands. This laughter accompanied by the clapping of hands is called atihasita. Okay. So it seems to be that same old maidservant in the house, Jadati. Srila Jiva Goswami. Vali means folds of skin. Vale Mukha means a monkey. Sadayati means he has sent me for accomplishing your marriage. Because of the sense of a double causative with the case in the use of infinitive, the word sadayati means he has sent me to get you married. Bali refers to the strong demons like Trinavarta and Putana. Bali Dvamsana refers to Krishna, the destroyer of those demons. Abhir Vipula Dhi means my intelligence has been eclipsed Vipluta by old age, those wrinkles. 4.1.28. If the person instigating hasya is not directly discernible, that person can be understood by the similarity of the vibhava and other elements with other cases. O Kutila, sister of Abhimanyu, your breasts are long like beans. Your nostrils are those of a feminine frog. Your eyes are like old turtles. Your lips are like coals. Your stomach is like a drum. Who is there in this world more beautiful than you? By the strength of your good works, only you, among all the beautiful women of Braja, have withstood the attraction of the flute. Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes there are indirect sarcastic remarks that also create atihasita circumstances. An example of one such remark is a statement which was made by one of the cowherd girls to Kutila, the daughter of Jatila and sister of Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radharani. Indirectly, Kutila was insulted by the following statement. My dear Kutila, daughter of Jatila, your breasts are as long as string beans, simply dry and long. Your nose is so gorgeous that it defies the beauty of the noses of frogs. And your eyes are more beautiful than the eyes of dogs. Your lips defy the flaming cinders of fire, and your abdomen is as beautiful as a big drum. Therefore, my dear beautiful Kutila, you are the most beautiful of all the cowherd girls of Vrindavan. And because of your extraordinary beauty, I think you must be beyond the attraction of the sweet blowing of Krishna's flutes. Right, yeah. 4.130. This hasya rasa, so in other words, it can be more direct or indirect. So this is like that sarcastic and all kinds of things like that. So that hasya can either be as directly there, or it has that indirect or other things. 4.130. This hasya rasa, which manifests in Madhura and other rasas, has been described in detail with many forms in the works of Bharat Muni and the work Nataka Chandrika in the section dealing with Kaishiki Vritti, dramatic form suitable for love. Srila Jiva Goswami, the word tatra, there, in this verse indicates in the works of Bharat Muni and others, and Rupa Goswami's work, Nataka Chandrika. End of the first wave of the northern section called Hasya Bhakti Rasa. Right, so then Prabhupada does them all as he takes it, that it's the smiling that's the feature. And then that smiling may have other things added to it. So first there's just that very slight smile, then you see the teeth, then it may have the audibleness, then it may have the note flaring of the nose and all those things, then it has the what do you call it? Then it was the shoulders, crying in the shoulders, and then clapping the hands and jumping up and down. But they're all added to this point of the hasya. So first is that just the eyes and the cheeks. Then you know it is that. So those will remain, and then these other symptoms get added. So then that takes it, that makes it a, you know, that you're starting from the one and it increases rather than it's, if you take it as laughter, then you have preliminaries and then it starts. Okay. Beginning of, right. Yes.
So it seems that there are quite many pastimes in the activity of Krishna.
Yes. Because these things come up and because we're not knowing all the rasas and that, we may not catch it in all these times when it's being played, but it comes up and these things are said all the time. You know, especially a lot of times they like to use these indirect kind of things and that.
Yes.
And so then, you know, it becomes more fun, you know, because those who catch it, you know, or those who didn't. It was Mother Jashoda saying something that seemingly is direct, but it's indirectly referring to something else. And so then, you know, about the rasa dance. And so then, you know, all these things that just they don't match. And so that's what makes it funny.
Yes. And there are always some person who know what exactly happened, like the gopi.
Yes. Somebody's there, they know, and everything like that. And so then that makes it fun. Okay, beginning of the second wave in the northern section entitled Adbhuta Bhakti Rasa. Outline of Adbhuta Rasa. So you have the definition, the Yalambana. So Vishaya is Krishna, Ashraya is devoted, Udipana, the actions of Krishna. Then the Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyavichari Bhava, Stai Bhava is Vishmaya Rati. Then direct perception, you're seen, you've heard, you've spoken, and indirect by inference. So these are the ways that there can be Adbhuta. There's no astonishment and chivalry. Okay, 4.2.1. When Vishmaya Rati becomes pleasurable in the devotee's heart by suitable vibhavas and other elements, it's called Adbhuta Bhakti Rasa. All types of devotees are the alambana for the Vishmaya Rati of Adbhuta Rasa. And Krishna, because of his superhuman actions, is the Vishaya. Srila Jiva Goswami. 3.5 verses speak of the assisting factors for this rasa. Vishmai Yashraya means the shelter of Vishmaya Rati. The Vishaya of that Vishmaya Rati is Krishna. How is astonishment created? The cause is thinking that something is impossible to comprehend. The illumination has been shown to be two, the devotee who is Ashraya and Krishna who is Vishaya. In some versions, Vibhava is seen instead of Vishaya. This is a mistake in writing. Okay. 3.2.3. Particular actions of Krishna are the Udipanas. Opening the eyes wide is the Anubhava. Paralysis, tears, hair standing on end are the Satvika Bhavas. Footnote 3. Wide eyes, paralysis, tears, and hair standing on end are described as Kriya. Kriya usually refers to Anubhavas. However, here it seems to refer to Satvika Bhavas as well, since all items except wide eyes are Satvika Bhavas. Right. So it just means that because the point is this, the Anubhava means what comes after. So what is the natural thing of doing like that? But it may have the form of Satvika, Vyavis, all these other aspects. 4.2.4. Avega, confusion of the mind, harsha, joy, jaryam, indecision, etc., are the Vyavichari Bhavas. Vishmaya Rati, caused by Krishna's superhuman actions, is the Stai Bhava. There are two types of superhuman actions, direct and inferred. Srila Jiva Goswami. The term superhuman actions, loko tara karmata, is representative only and indicates as well superhuman activities and forms. However, these things will be understood to be superhuman if the superhuman actions are a cause of prema for the devotee. In some cases, the superhuman acts are obstacles to the devotee's praying and are thus not acknowledged. This is illustrated in the following verses. Neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can attain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.920. Wow. And we thought only Chaitanya Charitamrita had the number of verses, right? No? Yeah, okay. Here is the Supreme Person, who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees, and a product of material nature by ordinary men. Now these boys who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 12, 11. Right. So, yeah. So there's just these amazing kind of elements that are here. And so then it's just not understood. It's like amazing. When Lord Sri Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the Rasa Lila, the gopis were embraced by the arms of the Lord. This transcendental favor was never bestowed upon the goddess of fortune or other consorts in the spiritual world. Indeed, never was such a thing even imagined by the most beautiful girls in the heavenly planets, whose bodily luster and aroma resemble the lotus flower. And what to speak of worldly women who are very beautiful according to mere material estimation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.47.60. Right, so they're just pointing out it's just that it's an amazing thing. 4.2.5. When the superhuman action is perceived by the eye, ear, mouth, or other senses is called direct. Srila Prabhupada. The ecstasy of astonishment and devotional service is perceived in two ways, directly by the experience of one's own eyes and indirectly by hearing from others. 4.2.6, an example of direct perception of wonder by seeing. When Narada saw Krishna simultaneously performing actions with one body in each of the queen's palaces in Dwarka, his body began to quiver. Srila Jiva Goswami. Ekam here means being in one body. This is described in the Bhagavatam, which is quoted in the next verse. Therefore, the word Muni means Narada. He became astonished by Krishna's production of many expanded forms. Like how he's with each wife in 16,000 palaces, each one doing something unique. Because yogis can expand, but they basically have to do the same thing. Right? 427. This is described in the 10th canto. It is quite amazing that in a single body, Lord Krishna simultaneously married 16,000 women, each in a separate palace. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.69.2. Four to eight, another example. O Jashoda, see here your little son with the moon-like face, slightly smelling of milk. And see here Govardhan, whose summit pierces the clouds. See with his left hand, he holds the king of mountains, as if it were just play. Is this some magic? Srila Prabhupada. When Narad came to see the activities of the Lord at Dwarka, and he saw that Krishna was present within every palace in the same body and was engaged in different activity, he was struck with wonder. This is one of the examples of astonishment in personal service by direct perception. One of the friends of Mother Jashoda said, Jashoda, just see the fun. On one hand, there's your child who is always captivated by sucking the milk from your breast. And on the other hand, there's the great Govardhan Hill, which can obstruct the passing of the clouds, right? Because Govardhan Hill is, in its original, its natural form, is 3 kilometers high, right? So that easily can go above the clouds, right? But still, just see how wonderful it is that this great Govardhan Hill is resting on the finger of your child's left hand, just as though it were a toy. Is this not very mysterious? The statement is another example of astonishment in devotional service by direct perception. Srila Jiva Goswami. Stanya Ganti, with the eye at the end of the compound, indicates slightly smelling of breast milk. Achalendra, king of mountains, refers to Govardhan, since he was previously mentioned. Kandu kitam, tam adrim kurvan mudam vahati. He carries the mountain casually like a toy. Is found instead of kandu kita chalendra kalenan iva spurati. Just in case you were wondering. 429.
So Maharaj, so it seems that when Krishna left the Govardhan Hill, he was taking the breath of Yashoda at the same time?
No. Means that Krishna, who, you know, having drunken milk from Mother Yashoda's breast, you know, so that now, as he says, his moon-like face has that slight smell of the milk. That kid is holding Govardhan Hill on his left finger like a toy. Yes. So they're saying, you know, so this is an example of astonishment.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. 429. From hearing about Krishna's superhuman acts, Krishna, with only 3 arrows, cut down all the arrows fired by 11 Akshauhini of troops under Narakasura. When Parikshit heard of the prowess of Krishna in battle, his eyes opened wide and his hair stood on end. Srila Prabhupada, an instance of astonishment and devotional service by indirect perception occurred when Maharaj Parikshit heard from Sukadeva Goswami about Krishna's killing Narakasura, who had been fighting Krishna with 11 Akshauhini divisions of soldiers. Each division of Akshauhini soldiers contained several thousand elephants, several thousand horses and chariots, and several hundreds of thousands of infantry soldiers. Narakasura possessed 11 such divisions, and all of them were throwing arrows towards Krishna. But Krishna killed them all simply by throwing 3 arrows from his side. When Maharaj Parikshit heard of this wonderful victory, he immediately rubbed the tears from his eyes and became overwhelmed with joy. This is an example of astonishment and devotional service by indirect perception through oral reception. So then on this previous page, it should be the direct perception, you know, which is through the senses, the indirect, then it's the herd, like that. Or it's added to the inference. 6.2.10. All the boys and calves has four arms. Oh, by speaking about Krishna's superhuman acts. All the boys and calves has four arms. They were dark in complexion like clouds and wore a yellow cloth. See, speaking in this way, I have lost control and become stunned. I will tell you something astonishing. Please listen. Each of the masters of the universe on lotus seats, all the Lord Brahmas, were praising every one of these four-armed forms. Srila Prabhupada. There's another example of indirect astonishment. Trying to test Krishna to see if he were truly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma stole all the coward boys and calves from him. But after a few seconds, he saw that Krishna was still present with all the cows, calves, and coward boys exactly in the same way as before. When Lord Brahma described this incident to his associates on Satyaloka, they all became astonished. Brahma told them that after taking away all the boys, he saw Krishna again playing with the same boys in the same fashion. Their bodily complexion was blackish, almost like Krishna's, and they all had four arms. The same calves and cows were still present there in the same original fashion. Even while describing this incident, Brahma became almost overwhelmed. And the most astonishing thing, he added, was that many other Brahmas from many other different universes had also come there to worship Krishna and his associates. Right, so here's that you're hearing about it or you're speaking about it. Right? He's even telling someone else about it. He's still becoming overwhelmed. He's still amazed. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of Brahma at his assembly in Satyaloka. Of the various versions, Stamba Sriya Pashyata is the preferred version. It is implied that Brahma had experienced what he is describing quite recently by the use of the present tense, Stuyante, they praise. This is an according to the rule Vartamana Samipye Vartamanavat Va. Present tense can be used to indicate actions in the immediate past or future. Panini 3.3.1.31. Because someone, like let's say someone comes in the room, you're doing something, and when they come in the room, you stop doing that and you look up. Then they ask, oh, what are you doing? Right? And so you can say, oh, I'm doing this. Even though technically you're not, it was in the past. You know, it's gone by a few seconds. So the point is the immediate past or immediate future. You know, it's just like you say, oh, if you want to know where I'll be in the kitchen cooking. But you're not there yet. You're not in the kitchen. You're not cooking. But you talk about it in the present tense. So immediate past, immediate future is counted as present. Like that. Does that make sense? So that's what he says is the preferred thing. Is that Brahma had this pastime, finished that, went back to Brahma Loka, and then is telling his assembly that's there. So for Brahma, it just happened, you know, a few moments before. 4.2.11, by inference of Krishna's superhuman acts. When all the children opened their eyes, they were astonished to see in front of them the incomparable banyan tree called Bandhira, and that they and all the cows had been rescued from the forest fire. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, when there was a forest fire in the Bandhiravan, Krishna instructed his friends to close their eyes tightly, and they all did this. Then, when Krishna had extinguished the fire, the coward boys opened their eyes and saw that they had been relieved from the danger and that their cows and calves were all safe. They began to perceive the wonder of the situation simply by guessing how Krishna had saved them. This is another instance of indirect perception causing astonishment in devotional service. So then that indirect, yeah, then it's also the inference, spoken and heard, those are all indirect. Those would all be under indirect. And direct means that you're perceiving directly with the senses. Four to 12. When an unloved person performs extraordinary actions, it is not astonishing. But when a loved one performs actions even a little uncommon, they produce astonishment. This is where the term meh comes from. Srila Jiva Goswami, having said that Abhuta Ras will manifest completely only in relation to Krishna, the author establishes that all rasas possess some Vishmaya Rati. This is expressed in two verses. Thus it is said. What was the Vishmaya Rati?
Astonishment only, Maharaj.
Okay, that attraction. Okay. Thus it is said. In rasa, the essence is said to be astonishment by the wise. Therefore, Adbhuta Rasa is said to be fully expressed in the Supreme Lord Narayana from a work by Dharmadatta, quoted in Sahitya Darpana. In the verse, the order of the word should be Madag Api Asad Dharani, even a little uncommon. 4.2.13. Therefore, it goes without saying that if the dearmost person performs the most extraordinary actions, it will certainly perform astonishment. Thus, the sweetness produced from Rati through a primary rasa of love has also been mentioned in this discussion of Vishmaya Rasa. The activities of a person, even if they are not very extraordinary, create an impression of wonder in the heart and mind. Of the person's friends. But even very wonderful activities performed by a person who is not one's friend will not create any impression. It is because of love that one's wonderful activities create an impression in the mind. This again, is this Srila Prabhupada here? That should be checked.
Yes, it is, Maharaj.
Okay, because it doesn't say Srila Prabhupada.
Yes, Maharaj, I'll check.
Yeah, because that happened in the previous one also.
Yeah.
End of the second wave in the northern section called Adbhuta Bhakti Rasa. So then because of the love for Krishna, that Rati means, in other words, this Rati on its own, it's there because of the affection for Krishna. Otherwise, then someone else does something, then who cares? That's the whole point. So because of the rati of the primary rasa, that's why then the Adbhuta rasa then functions as a rati. But otherwise, if there is no rati, then you just don't care. Somebody can do the most amazing thing, no one cares. You see, it's a pretty common thing in the material world. Someone's doing amazing stuff and people think it's ordinary, but then something very simple and it's amazing. Okay, then that was the second way, right? Something saying something.
But Maharaj, it seems that the chapter is called Astonishment and Chivalry, but it is mainly astonishment. In what you read?
No, because for Prabhupada, the chapter is continuing.
Ah, yes.
So it says it ends the second wave in the northern section, but you see for Prabhupada, it's just continuing on.
Yes.
So it's not the next chapter. It's still chapter 46. Yes. So he put the two together because you see it's such short chapters.
Yes.
And, you know, there'll be some kind of connections and all that. But then in the, you see the Hasya, then it had so many details in that. So on its own, it stands nicely. Okay. So Prabhupada put these two together. So beginning of the third wave. Because here it's like you have two waves and Prabhupada put it in one chapter. And in other places you see one wave has been made into many chapters, like in the eastern section of the ocean. Then there's only, I think, let's see, Samanya, then sadhana, spontaneous. Baba and Prema. So there's five waves, but he makes 19 chapters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is just an instance where it's the other way around. So we haven't seen this before, so that's why it's a little unique.
Maharaj?
Yes.
I would like to clarify. Vishmai Rati, it is written 4-2-4, then is the Stai Baba. Although others Vyabhicharis, I mean, although other secondary rasas, they play a role of the Vyabhichari. So what's the so special about the astonishment?
Maybe because of its basis on the primary rasa, the primary rati, like that. Can you say anything from Bharat Muni, sheds any light on this?
I think it also comes in one, sometimes in the Vyabhichari Bhava, somebody wonders like, there is one or two Vyabhichari
Bhava. It's also
Bhava.
There.
Yeah.
The so maybe, yeah. Because, see, is that in general, you can, because you see in one thing is that they can be taken as the secondary rasas, but they're based on their primary. Because they have the primary, that's why then they have meaning. And so, yeah. But you can, let's say, have hastya towards somebody who you don't like. They saw, they laughed at Jatila, no problem. So there's no affection. But amazement, it has to be in connection with someone that Rati is there. Does that make any sense? Like that. One of the things that could probably be done is this whole the beginning of the second wave entitled, and then the third wave, you could maybe put those outlines right after each other.
Okay, Mark.
And then you just start with chapter 46, you know, then you can say here's, you know, it ends the second wave, and then you just continue with the next, you know, the beginning of the third wave. Okay. Then it makes it clear how it's working in one chapter. Does that make any sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Yes.
Was that and Jagadish Prabhu? Because yes, it appears that these others you can appreciate. Even if you like them or don't like them, let's say on the battlefield, you don't like Karna, but he does something amazing. Everybody appreciates the chivalry. The chivalry aspect you do, but amazing, no.
Yes, I'm just, I just have to maybe more carefully read the original text and see, because you know, sthayi means it's a inherent nature of the living being, and then the relationship based on that. So it's like somebody is always in that condition. So for me, it's hard to imagine how is that gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's in connection too, because it says, means the sthayi, means the fixed element of it, its basis, is because of Krishna's superhuman actions.
Right.
So we see it's based in that. So it has more of an indirect, because these aren't direct rasas. So even as the sthayi, it still has an indirect element. Does that make sense?
It has some basis in Dasya or Sakya or whatever it is. Is that right?
Yes, it has to be. In other words, because you have those five, then these ones can be there and be called secondary rasas.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, okay. Then they're also known as Vyabhichari Bhavas.
Yes.
You know, because that's what they're actually adding to it. So it's just a matter of bringing out if it's just more of a temporary or if it's more of a major thing. You know, in other words, the Vyabhichari, it just comes up and it opposes different things in there. But the main rasa stays. The main rasa stays. But when the secondaries come up, they kind of take prominence over the primary. You know, like that when you're amazed, you're amazed and that becomes the primary. Because like, yeah. That's all. So it can happen. So they're very subtle. That's the whole thing of rasa. It's very subtle. So then it has, depending upon how it's falling, then it comes. Just like when it mentions about Anubhavas, like you were saying in the practice before, about the eyes wide, the others are Sattvika Bhavas. But in one sense, Anubhavas, Sattvika Bhavas, Vyavichari Bhavas, they can all be categorized as Anubhavas. Like that. But if you want to be specific, okay, this one falls here, that one falls there. But here it's just bringing out the general point is that from the eyes opening wide, the paralysis, tears, hair standing on end, these are the things that happen after the particular actions of Krishna as the Udipan. Udipan. Is that?
Yes. Yes, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay, good, thank you. Okay. And I catch that on the outline thing. I'll let Anitai about this direct and indirect, because the heard and spoken are indirect. So yes, that outline needs to be slightly adjusted.
Okay,
then beginning of the third wave, northern side, called Vira Bhakti Rasa. Outline of Vira Rasa, definition, types. That you have A and B, you have Yudhavirya and Dhanavirya, right? And then, and then in Dhanavirya, you have the types, Bahu Prada, giver of profuse gifts, and Upastita, Dura, Parta, Jagi, refusing the Lord's benedictions, right? Because both of those are considered chivalrous. Right, then you have Dayavira, which must be compassion, like that, or something, and Dharmavira. Right. Four, three, one. You might even be able to, whether you need to put in all these. Yeah, you may be able to leave out all these subsections. Because you have the definition, and then you have the types. You'd have this and only this kind, like here, the giver of produce gifts, and that's something that's outstanding that makes you unique, because otherwise we just put Udipan out, but it doesn't say anything.
Okay.
Really. You know. Like that, you know, some way, maybe the Stai Bhav, then it has some kind of flavor there. That does, but at the same time, as it that also needs some translation. I noticed that up to now there's translation on everything, but just when we start getting into this, they just don't even bother.
Okay.
So we should have those little brackets with a little translation of, you know,
okay. Like that.
Okay, 4-3-1. When Utsarati attains an enjoyable nature by suitable vibhavas and other elements, it is called Vira Bhakti Rasa. Right, so Utsa means the enthusiasm. Yeah. 4-3-2. So that's what it doesn't say there. And Vira doesn't say what that is. You know, vibhavas, that you don't have to say every time, because by now they should know, but these things are being newly introduced. 4-3-2. There are four types of vira, or valiant persons: Yudhavira, Dhanavira, Dayavira, and Dharmavira. These devotees are the alambana for Vira Bhakti Rasa. Srila Prabhupada, chivalry. When on account of love and devotional service for the Lord, there is a special valorous enthusiasm. The resultant. So like that. So this enthusiasm here doesn't mean anything but valorous. So I would say here, you could put valorous enthusiasm. The resultant activities are called chivalrous, right? Because that's when there's that, then you get the chivalrous bhakti rasa, right? These chivalrous activities can be manifest in the acts of mock fighting, giving charity, showing mercy, and executing religious principles. So that's the meaning of Yudhavira, Dhanavira, all these things like that. By performing chivalrous acts in fighting, one is called Yudhavira. By charitable activities, one is called Dhanavira. By showing extraordinary mercy, one is called Dayavira. And when one is munificent in executing religious rites, he is called Dharmavirya. In all such different chivalrous acts, Krishna is the object. 4.3.3. It is possible for Utsaha Rati to appear in all types of devotees. 4.3.4. Yudhavirya. Special friends endowed with fortitude in fighting for satisfying Krishna are called Yudhavirya. 4.3.5. In this rasa, the friends fight against Krishna or fight against his best friends in Krishna's presence, according to Krishna's desire. So they might fight with Krishna, or Krishna's there sitting, let's say he's being the king and all that and sitting. And so then the different, you know, how you say, gladiators will come forward and they say, okay, this one fights with that one. And then they fight for Krishna's pleasure and stuff like that. 4.3.6, fighting with Krishna. Oh, Madhava, you are very unsteady, but you think that no one can beat you. If you do not flee from the fight, I will now defeat you and please your friends. Right? So in other words, all the others will be happy now seeing Krishna. He's defeated, you know, such a show like that. So this is the Srila Prabhupada. Right? When a friend wants to satisfy Krishna by performing some chivalrous activities, the friend becomes the challenger and Krishna himself becomes the opponent, or else Krishna may give audience to the fighting and by his desire, another friend becomes the opponent. A friend once challenged Krishna thus, my dear Madhava, you are very restless because you think that no one can defeat you. But if you do not flee from here, then I shall show you how I can defeat you. My friends will be very satisfied to see this. Right, so it's not I'll defeat you, but they'll also be very satisfied. So it all adds to the rasa, the flavor, right? Srila Jiva Goswami. Yadi natvam samarat paran chasi means if you do not avoid the fight by saying you have given up fighting for the day. Right? So unless you flee, you know, in some way flee from the fight or give up, you know, saying, no, I'm not fighting anymore today. In some way, then you will be defeated. 3.4.7. Yata va samrambha prakatikrita prati bhatarambha shriyo sabhutam kalindi puline vayasya nikarer alo kya manas tada avyut Ta pita sakyayor api vara hankara vishpur jita shridhamnas cha bake dvishas cha samaro to pa tiya abhut. Another example. Sudama and Krishna, who were the very best of friends, displayed the splendor of fighting with anger on the bank of the Jamuna. This intense pride in fighting with increased desire to win, was seen by all their friends with astonishment. Srila Jiva Goswami. The two boys looked glorious while undertaking a match. Pratibhata, which manifested anger, samrambha, in spite of the fact that they were best of friends. Ap yuta pita shakyayo. Right, so it mentions that they displayed the splendor of fighting. So then they'll make a big thing out of and do all that kind of stuff. You know, it's okay. Shridhamnas cha bake dvishas cha stands for the two friends in the dual case, even though they are mentioned separately. There was an intense pride of fighting between the two, Shridhamma and Krishna. According to this meaning, the other descriptive elements are in the dual case, Shriyo and Shakayo. It is said that the word cha has four meanings, indicating components of an aggregate, samuchaya, indicating a secondary action, anvachaya, indicating a mutual relationship, itare tara yoga, and indicating a combination of things in a new form, samahara. Yeah, that's all the meaning. That's far out. Huh? That's all the meanings also. The word cha as samuchaya is used to differentiate the individual elements of the group. Thus, when we say Sudama and Krishna came, we mean Sudama came and Krishna came. The meaning of cha as anvai, chaya, is indicated as follows. Bring Krishna and also Sudama if you see him. By being mentioned later, Sudama is indicated as an additional thought. Another example is as follows. May Krishna also the people be seen. If two objects do not have equal strength in the relationship, they cannot form a dvandva compound. But if the two objects have an equal strength in the relationship, they can perform a dvandva. This is the case of the latter two types. Though in the means, just like Radha Krishna, that can perform that kind of dual case because there's an equality there, Krishna and Balaram, you know, or Nanda and Yashoda, or let's say the six Goswamis, you know, like that, you know, so that you can refer to them in that Asma, Mande Rupa Sanatanao, Raghu Yago, Sri Jiva Gopalako, like that. They're using the dual in those things. So Rupa and Sanatan is one group, Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Das, and Gopal Bhatta and Raghunath Bhatta. Does that make sense? Though in the Samhara use of cha, there is equality, there will be a resulting uniqueness by stressing the collective nature of the members without expressing the equality of the individual elements. So you don't have to talk about the equalness, you talk about the uniqueness, right? Because that you're using dual means there has to be something equal there, but you're bringing out why this together. You know, like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are rising like simultaneously, like the sun and moon on the horizon of Nadia. So that's using the dual case, but the you know, you're not. It's understood that dual case means that there's the commonality between them, being the supreme Lord, but at the same time is the uniqueness of how they're rising like the sun and moon. Like the sun and moon never rise together. It means they're 180 degrees apart. So when the sun's over there, the moon's on the other side, like that, because it's full moon, right? We don't mean it's the new moon or something. Then, yeah, okay, then they can rise together. But it's full moon, and the sun, they're always exactly opposite, 180 degrees. So that they're rising together, that's uniqueness. Yeah? No? Okay. It is used, I guess, in expressions such as padaka, kramaka. A person who has studied the pada arrangement and a person who has studied the krama arrangement of verses. Panini 2.4.5. The combination in that case is figurative. In the case of itare tara yoga, meaning of cha, it indicates the totaling of elements, but with the individual units maintaining their individual entity. This can be expressed as a dvandva compound in the dual case, Sri Dhamma Krishnav Agatao, but can also be expressed as separate units, Sri Dhamma Cha Krishna Cha Dvandva Agatao. Means you could say it like that, but you put it together in the dual because it matches. Right? Like that. This is the difference from Samutraya, where there is no totaling of the components. The Samutraya cannot be expressed as dvandva compound. If the meaning of a compound is itare tara yoga, then it can also be expressed as separate units on the basis of which the meaning of the compound arises. Since the use of a dvandva compound is optional in this usage, it is also correct to use the separate units. Thus, Sri Dham Cha Krishna's Cha Agatau is correct usage. Although the same can be expressed by the dvandva, Sri Dham Sri Tama Krishna Agatau. There is the following rule, viparish shedhe param karyam. When there are two rules of equal force in conflict, the latter rule is applied. Panini 1.4.2, sacha tvam cha aham cha pachama. He, you and I cook. There are two or more persons expressed, such as the first person, I, and the second person, you, and the third person, he, in one list. The last of the words denoting the subject determines the person. In this case, aham determines the use of the first person form of the verb. Panchama, though that is in the first, according to the number expressed, by the whole, it should be in the plural form, according to the rule of the grammarian. Sarva Varma, three persons in this case. Pachama, we cook, instead of Pachami, I cook. Da Sri Dhamna Cha Bakshe Dvishas Cha means the same thing as Sri Dhamma Bakshe Dvishayor Dvayo. Right? Just in case you got confused at the grammatical usage there. So all these different things came up in here about how they're using all these different things, you know, in their fighting and the playing and the moods and all that. So in one thing, then they're using so many of them. Right? Yeah. So he explained all that.
So Maharaj, it seems that Srila Prabhupada is using quite a lot the thing, the cha. In his purpose. Yes. Sometimes it is a very interesting word cha
But you see, Prabhupada so pleasantly makes it accessible.
Yes.
Like Prabhupada will explain much more of the things than just the grammar, because for Jiva Goswamis in this case, if you know grammar, it makes sense. You don't know grammar, it doesn't make any sense. But Prabhupada just explains it, but not as a grammatical thing, just to bring out different aspects, this vichar.
Yes.
And so he'll use those aspects to bring it out. And then Jiva Goswami is doing that, but you need to be a grammarian to appreciate it. But Prabhupada will make it appreciated to those who are not. So where it would be something that you could appreciate, it'll be brought out. And if it doesn't mean anything, like in English, there is no dual case. You know, you can say, oh, the couple, like that. And it kind of indicates that dual case because they go together, you know. But at the same time, as you're not exactly, but all these elements that it's talking about here in the grammar, they work. It's just whether in the non-Sanskrit languages, whether they acknowledge these things or not. Like also, whether it would have that many meanings or usages. You know, but it would be, even if there's finer points, they would be in these four categories.
Yes.
But you may not get that. In the dictionary, it'll just have one after another and makes no distinguish on what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Like that. Necessarily. So that's the advantage in the Sanskrit. It's, you know, it's very exact and it's bringing out something, because when you say something as a pair, then it has a particular flavor. Then, you know, I'm saying we could say Radha and Krishna, so we take their two people.
Yes.
But if we say the divine couple, it gives another flavor. Right? So the divine couple we can say is Radha Krishna. Right, so we know it's there, or we're offering it to Radha and Krishna, Radha Krishna Bhyam. So then it has that they're a couple together. You're not separating them here, but you're offering the item. You know, they're individuals, but at the same time as they are together, and they're accepting it together. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we see is that that's why in much of the things that when Gopi Puranandan Prabhu would translate, he would just leave all this stuff out and just kind of summarize it and give it in his purports like that. So then it makes it, you know, very accessible and all that. But here, this is what Jiva Goswami said. So Banumars has translated it. Okay. 438, fighting with his best friends. Skill for Sri Dhamma stopped the counter with leather tips, fired by all his friends by whirling a stick around. The son of Nanda, with hairs standing on end, praised him because it appeared that Sri Dhamma was enclosed in a cage made by the whirling stick. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna and Sri Dhamma were very intimate friends. Yet Sri Dhamma, out of anger with Krishna, challenged him. When both of them began to fight, all the friends on the bank of the Jamuna enjoyed the wonderful fighting of the two friends. They prepared some oral arrows for mock fighting, and Krishna began to throw his arrows at Sri Dhamma. Sri Dhamma began to block those arrows by whirling his pole, and by Sri Dhamma's frivolous activities, Krishna became very satisfied. Such mock fighting generally takes place amongst chivalrous persons, and creates wonderful excitement for all viewers. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So we'll end here for now. Ciao. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Stop. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.